genocide against native people is still going on today, all over the world.
Native Solidarity News. It's about you, too. CKUT, CKDU, CFBEX, CFUV, CHFN, CHLY, CHMA, CHSR, CJLY, CJSF, CJSW, Radio 90.
Based on land. Land is the basis of all independence.
Welcome to Native Solidarity News, a national radio service and part of an international network of information and action in support of Indigenous peoples' survival and dignity. We are all volunteers committed to promoting Native self-determination, culturally, economically, spiritually, and otherwise. Produced at CKUT Community Radio since 1996, NSN is now also broadcast on over 20 stations across occupied Canada. We try to make each 60-minute program as welcoming and challenging to someone who's never heard of the issues as it is to a weekly listener. Each week you tune in for news and net the feature. And this week we'll be hearing a feature prepared by Urquhart. Urquhart, Do you want to talk a bit about it?
What it is it's going to be something from the LA Sound Posse on the Uwa Women and their Sacred Land. That's coming up shortly. What we're going to come up with, though, is a little bit of music and some news before we do that.
Yeah. So we've got a few announcements. On October 12th, the Guambiano people went to recover ancestral lands who were in the hands of landowners to protest against the October 12th. In response, the Colombian government, using violence through their military forces, has attempted to remove the people, with the result of 15 people so far being seriously injured. The government says that if they don't leave, they will use all their force at their disposal, with no mind for human losses. Without international support and mediation, the people there foresee a massacre, as people have made it known that they will resist even with their very lives. Therefore, they're asking that you, contact the Colombian government or Colombian embassies in your area and tell them to leave the Guambiano be, respect their autonomy, and respect human lives. Please, folks, make the call. It's not Native Solidarity News without you and Solidarity. So we have a couple more news pieces to read before we take a short musical break. The first one is that 60 Aboriginal Taiwanese people, led by one of the first Aboriginal Taiwanese women elected to the Taiwanese Parliament, recently made an historic visit to the United States. The delegation was seeking to bring attention to the brutality of the Japanese government against the Aboriginal Taiwanese community during its 50-year colonization of Taiwan between the years of 1895 and 1945. After 3 years of urging Japan to recognize the atrocities and return the remains of indigenous Taiwanese being held in Japan to Taiwan, the community has been ignored and is now seeking support from the international community. During their visit to New York, the delegation met with representatives of the Flying Eagle Women Fund and American Indian Community House, fulfilling the wish of the Aboriginal Taiwanese people to meet with their indigenous brothers and sisters on Turtle Island. Following their visit to the United States, 10 members of the delegation will leave for Osaka, Japan, where they will join their other protesters and await the Japanese High Court's judgment in the case. This came from the United Congress of Taino Peoples website, www.uctp.blogspot.com. Do visit there for more updates, not just for the Taino people, but also for the larger international indigenous community. And the next piece comes from the Northern Ontario Cashechuan First Nation, which is currently in a state of emergency and is not being attended to by the department officials responsible. The fly-in community of Cashechuan, about 450 kilometers north of Timmins, Ontario, has been under a Health Canada boil water advisory for more than 2 years. Now, with a broken sewage levee and a water plant held together with rope and a plank of wood, its water supply is contaminated with E. coli. The situation flared up last week when federal officials warned of the potentially deadly bacteria in water flowing through the taps of the community's 1,900 residents. E. coli can make people ill and even prove deadly for young children, the elderly, and those already sick. But beyond the perils of drinking water and the worries it presents to those washing dishes or even brushing their teeth, one person, Daisy Wesley, says that it has caused her son's cuts and scrapes to become infected, leaving permanent scars. Community officials say a completely new water system is needed. The existing water treatment plant was built a decade ago, just 135 meters downstream from the release point of a sewage lagoon. That means contaminants flow right past the pipe that directs the water to be treated for drinking. Even though Indian and Northern Affairs Canada, which funded the plant initially, spent $500,000 to upgrade the facility last year, the intake pipe wasn't moved. Since last April, INAC has spent more than $250,000 flying bottled water into Cashechuan. This is ridiculous. So I guess every single news piece could end with a call for support and say, get to the phones, write letters. But seriously, please write to Andy Scott. Write to Indian and Northern Affairs Canada and tell them to get on the ball, fix the water intake, because we're going to need to fix that water. We're going to need to get this taken care of, because it's ridiculous that these people have been living under boil water advisory for 2 years without anybody doing anything but sending up Avian. Seriously.
Yeah, what are you going to do about that? It's retarded how bad it is. But what are you going to do?
It's retarded.
Yeah, it's absolutely just nuts. We got one more press release here. Wempik Elder and Youth honored for addressing the United Nations on Canada's human rights record. This is from the Vancouver Coast, Salish Territory, October 23rd, 2005. Elder Irene Billy and Ska Sevensis Manual of the Wempik Nation returned from Geneva, Switzerland, where they delivered an independent indigenous submission on Canada's human rights record to the United Nations. They were met at the Vancouver International Airport by members of the indigenous nations, supporters, and the media, and honored for their tireless work for the recognition of indigenous rights. Elder Irene Billy and Ska Sevens Manuel left for Geneva a week ago, Sunday the 16th of October, for the 85th session of the United Nations Human Rights Committee. Canada was the first country to submit its periodic report on the implementation of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the ICCPR. When federal government last reported to the Human Rights Committee, they had criticized Canada's failure to implement Indigenous rights, especially to the right to self-determination. At international law, this is the right of a people or a nation to decide how they want to be governed and to exercise their inherent rights. For this session, how they want to be governed and to exercise their inherent rights. A committee again requested information on implementation of the right to self-determination of Aboriginal peoples in Canada, and Canada failed to submit a written response prior to the start of the session. Instead, Indigenous peoples from across Canada prepared an independent Indigenous submission where they made it clear that they have never given up their nationhood and their right to self-determination. A number of Indigenous nations from British Columbia, the Nuksalt Nation, and the Sekwempik people who are defending the Skwelt against the expansion of the Sun Peak Ski Resort, the Stamik Nation who opposed the construction of a ski resort in Sikitel, and the Pilat Nation who wants to protect fishing at Cheam and their sacred mounds, they made it clear that they want to protect their territories and that they will not extinguish their land rights. Many of their members, including elders and youth, have been arrested for exercising their indigenous rights and protecting their territories. This, in turn, violates their human rights to liberty and freedom, and therefore also denounce these resulting human rights violations before the United Nations Human Rights Committee. Elder Irene Billy herself had been arrested at the Sun Peak Ski Resort because she refused to leave her territory at Skelkwelt to protect it against the greed of the corporations such as Nippon Cables, Delta Hotels, and Nancy Green's Cahilty Lodge. In this case, the courts found that the Wempik people had no criminal intent and did not commit any criminal acts, yet they were subject to serious restrictions of their freedom and other human rights. Irene Billy addressed all of these important issues with the United Nations Human Rights Committee members and told them about her personal struggle to protect their territories. She said, "As Indigenous people, we have the right to decide what happens in our territories, and no development can happen without our prior informed consent." Both Irene Billy and Ska Sevensis Manuel lobbied the committee for the recognition of Indigenous rights and to condemn Canada's policies that undermine Indigenous rights. During a discussion on self-determination, they were addressed by committee members Raj Sumer Lala, who said, "We know that you are people that and have all those rights." Ska Sevensis Manuel stated, "Canada is basically saying we are domesticated peoples. However, I argue that Canada actually is totally disrupting the national unity of Indigenous people and the territorial integrity of our lands. Canada occupies our territory. The efforts of the Siswemic delegation were welcomed by all the nations who participated in the preparation of the independent indigenous submission. Some in person at the Vancouver International Airport, and others who messages, for examples, the Anishinaabe Aski Nation from Ontario. To our this is from INET, and it was a press release from October 23rd. And we're going to have a little musical break before we come up with our feature. And here it is.
My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride. My brothers died, I lived twice as hard for them. And they left kids behind, so I play God for them. It's so hard for them to understand the reason why. As the season fly by, God's tears freeze in the sky. My soul cries, cause dealing with firm sluts and absurd nuts burn shut my tear ducts. You heard what? From who? Spent too much time repeating it, the fool. I express the stress that burns on my chest with no concern for complex of interest. From the sun that's to the drunk tanks, I'll be the same man. Get crunk thanks for no thanks. Pay my own way like tanks, pay my own way like banks. Earn stripes and set my pranks. Y'all seen the skills come up, what else is there to sum up? Wop, step up and leave the whole squad done up. Question my integrity, question your future survival of all cats in this game. You don't want me as a rival. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride.
Verbalized, not locally, vocally, it's my truth. The matter, the reckless hopelessness in the time of my youth. Yo, sink away and then into a picture of tomorrow. Cause it's all you got when all you got in a parent and terminal furrow. Up the ladder and extending my leg to pull the eyes out of my socket to rock it. Years later into destiny. Unwanted sometimes is what's meant to be. So I roll the riptide and flourish immaculate. Emancipate with the back of it, blown to pieces from 12 gauges of human hatred. The faceless faces on a first name basis. Greeting with open empty palms and I hate it. Still embrace it from complex to basic. How I face it is my life on the regular. And what is wasted is my life on the regular. So I just take it in, cause it's my life, motherfucker, you know.
My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride.
I step through the door naturally, approaching my vision. Reality tragically choking my throat for decisions. Move with precision and contemplate which path to take. Tell my life to rhythm and face the facts I can't escape. I was born to fascinate, that ain't hard to tell. Mistakes I had to make, lived and died and rot in hell. Never knew my mama well, it don't seem sad to me. My soul cries of water well, accept things how they have to be. Living where the drama sells, I give the best of me. Slide through all areas with middle fingers for enemies. I speak of things I've never seen, immersed in my mental. The only motion is forward, never scared and never settled. Off to the next level, steady forging ahead. Write my life day and night, never distorting what's said. I go on until I'm dead, I stay dedicated to be the one who came up surpassing expectations of me.
My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride. My soul cries, cry for today with all eyes. Hear my voice uprise, cause now we oh so wise. My soul cries, cry for today with old eyes. And all jokes aside, you want my life from your ride. It's my life in stereo, say my life in stereo. My life in stereo, say my life in stereo. It's my life in stereo, say my life in stereo. 204 the Aereo, connect with the Ontario.
You're just listening to Slang Blossom, their song Ontario, off of the Redwire compilation, Our Voices Are Weapon and Our Bullets the Truth, Take 2. Check out redwiremag.com for more information on that album and for archives of the Redwire magazine, which is rad. It's put out by the Native Youth Movement of Vancouver, someplace. Anyways, it's a good publication. Always challenging. And yeah, so now we're back with some more news. So last on October 18th, the United Nations Human Rights Committee, the UNHRC, in Geneva, heard from representatives of the federal government on Canada's report on its compliance with its international obligations under the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights. One of the main issues to be raised by the committee was related to the Canadian performance of its human rights obligations in regards to Indigenous peoples. In that regard, the Métis National Council, the MNC, has made presentations to the committee as it prepares to examine the report that Canada submitted to the committee earlier this year. A main concern of the MNC relates to provincial failures to recognize, respect, and protect Métis rights, including Aboriginal rights that have been expressly recognized by Canadian courts, and rights that have been clearly identified by the committee in past reports and recommendations to Canada. The international right of self-determination will also be at the forefront of this discussion. Canada's policy currently fails to measure up to its obligations under Article 1 of the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which states all peoples have the right of self-determination. The MNC submission also addressed the issue of control over natural resources and the fact that Métis are essentially without access to land and resources. Canada cannot avoid its international obligations by pointing to provincial dereliction, said Clement Chartier, the president of the MNC. He added, Canada is responsible for all of Canada in international law. This is from a press release by the Métis Nation. You can go to the website www.metisnation.ca. That's metisnation.ca. There was also a submission by the Lubicon Nation representatives pressing their case before the United Nations. Alongside them was Amnesty International, which, among other things, asked for the UN's help in getting the government of Canada to immediately resume negotiations with the Lubicon Cree with the aim of achieving a timely settlement of the land dispute that fully respects their rights under national and international law and ensure that unless the Lubicon give their free, prior informed consent, no activities are undertaken on the disputed land that could jeopardize the fulfillment of Lubicon rights. Amnesty International's submission to the UNHRC addressed a number of areas where Canada's human rights performance needs significant improvement. Their complete 23-page report is available on the Amnesty website at www.amnesty.ca. This is from a press release from the Friends of Lubicon. An article from the Associated Press reads that representatives of Indigenous groups criticized the mining industry, accusing it of causing pollution and ignoring the rights of Indigenous people worldwide. At a conference at the University of Nevada, Reno, representatives of the Western Shoshone Defense Project in Nevada and from communities in Bolivia and Guatemala called on the industry to seek their participation and consent before mining. Chemicals from mining in the Chiquitano forest region of Bolivia have contaminated the water and land, turning it into a desert, said Carlos Quasaca of that country. Mining companies come and go, but Indigenous people must live with that land they leave behind, he said. He continues, we can no longer grow anything. We can no longer produce rice, corn, or anything we used to live from. Russ Fields, president of the Nevada Mining Association, said the industry has to comply with federal clean air and water standards as well as rehabilitate any damaged land. Carrie Dan of the Western Shoshone Defense Project said she has watched mining companies dig massive holes in the Crescent Valley area of northeastern Nevada, where she has lived more than 80 years. Mining operations pollute water, land, and air, essential things that belong to future generations, she said. The conference was held at as the world's largest mining company, Newmont Mining Corp, is defending itself against charges that it polluted a bay in Indonesia, sickening villages who live nearby. And the last piece before we head into the feature comes from the Syracuse Post-Standard. Before March 29th, federal courts had ruled that Oneida Indian Nation land was sovereign and beyond the reach of local laws. But when the U.S. Supreme Court tossed out previous court rulings and voided the nation's sovereignty over its land, everything changed. In the 6 months since the Supreme Court ruled the nation must pay taxes to the city of Sherrill, the Oneida Nation has for the first time paid more than $1.5 million towards its tax bills, allowed county health inspectors into Turning Stone Resort and casino kitchens, paid a fine to the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration, challenged local property tax assessments that the nation had previously ignored, asked the federal government to take all Oneida Nation land into trust. A Utica warrior who worked for Upstate Citizens for Equality, which opposes nation sovereignty, says, "You have a gradual surrender of the claim of sovereignty that the United Nation has exerted for years. The Sherrill decision, essentially sent a message to the United Nation leader Ray Halberter that his power is very much limited." The United Nation spokesperson Mark Emery, said the Supreme Court suggested the nation apply to put its land into trust. "The United Nation is just following the roadmap laid out by the Supreme Court," Emery said. "Once that land goes into trust, everything goes back to the way it was. The way it was before March 29th was this. The United Nation, flush with casino profits of up to 30% a year, had brought up more than 17,000 acres in Madison County. The nation declared the land sovereign, did not pay sales or property taxes, and refused to allow county health inspectors into the resort or its Savon gas station chain. Shell tried to foreclose, and the nation filed suit in federal court. The nation won the first two rounds, but lost 8-1 at the Supreme Court. The court said the Oneidas had waited too long to claim governmental power over the land, and that allowing the nation to exert that power now over a quote-unquote checkerboard of land would lead to chaos." Again, this is from the Syracuse Post-Standard. This is an ongoing trial. There are people organizing to support the Oneida and the Gunyankahage who are fighting to assert their sovereignty in New York State. So this isn't over, but the City of Sherrill ruling is very scary because it could have dire repercussions. It's just ridiculous, though, that the Supreme Court would say that there's a statute of limitations on when people can start contesting for their national sovereignty, when until about 50 years ago, indigenous people weren't even allowed in courts, let alone to hire lawyers. So it's far from over, but it is scary news. But